coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. One, two. Oh, that's right. There we go. Now, okay. Now everything's right in the universe. Now everything's right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hagman.
I forgot to put the.
My mic's not working. Oh, I'll do it live. You want to do it again? I'm hearing it in the background, right? You can shut down the music. Oh man, is this Monday or no? It's not. Eric the tech, he's got a bad muscle spasm in his back.
Yeah, I slept wrong on it,
and it's been he's been all day. He's been gimping around here, and I think he's going for the comp. Going for comp. I really do. He's going to say, "Oh, I heard it here." Oh man. Anyway, so where were we? Welcome to Hagman.
Check one, two.
Let's do this. We can't undo this. See, we're live on a number of platforms. So, all right. So anyway, let me start this again. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Websites where you can find us, HagmanReportLive.com, HagmanReport.com, HagmanReportLive.com for the audio, the video. And, there you can comment on different things. HagmanReport.com for the information, the articles. And of course, HagmanStore.com for some great coffee, gourmet coffee. That's right, gourmet coffee. I want to thank you for your support. And I want to thank you for everything you do. And I want to thank our sponsors as well. Speaking of sponsors, Lightstream.com. Did you know that refinancing your credit card balances can lower your interest rate and save you money? You don't have to be a financial expert to do it either. That's my favorite part of this. Well, it's not the only favorite part. You can get a fixed rate credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream, and you could save thousands in interest. Rates start at 5.95% APR with auto pay and excellent credits. Lower than the average credit card rate of over 19% APR. I've seen some, car crashes of APRs. I'm telling you. You get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 and there are absolutely no fees. The application is 100% online. You can even get your money in your bank account as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Now, here's how to get that special offer. You ready? My listeners can apply today for a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. That is LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Hagman, two N's on Hagman. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will thank me later. Now, townhall.com. This is pretty interesting. I don't know whether you saw this very quickly. I just want to mention this. What a second civil war would look like. I'm paraphrasing that title. Okay. If this civil conflict that we see taking place, this is my two cents. If this goes kinetic, this conflict is going to be unlike anything unlike this country has ever seen before. All right. Now, this, we're not special in terms of civil wars. We are an exceptional country. That's why civil war hasn't broken out yet. I believe in American exceptionalism. I believe in the people of America. I believe that God has blessed this country. God has protected this country. But I also believe God's not happy at all. Mm-mm. I don't want to trivialize or even sound like I'm trivializing God. Not at all. But I don't think he's happy. It's just my view. I don't see a nation versus nation, although that will happen. U.S. v. China and Russia, perhaps Iran, who knows? I don't know. Pick a Middle Eastern country. That's what the Arab Spring was all about, that reset. But pick, you know, China, Russia for sure. And I'll toss in a Middle Eastern country, Iran, perhaps. But that's not going to be the main focus initially. Not even state versus state initially. It's going to be on a more personal level than that. It's going to be person versus person. It's going to be, yes, like the Civil War, brother versus brother. But it's also going to be brother versus sister, sister versus sister, sister versus brother, sister versus mother, mother versus, you get the idea, right? Oh, it's going to be incredibly personal. Take what you see on the social media and kind of lay that out. It's going to be incredibly personal. You're going to see things that it's going to be seeming like random violence. It's going to be more like guerrilla warfare. That's why at this point I think that you have to exercise your Second Amendment rights. Make sure you carry a firearm. Keep your head on the swivel. Watch for, well, just watch your surroundings. You know, it's also a chance that you might not be the target. You might be too difficult of a target, too hard of a target. You know, some of these people are pansies on the left. All of them are pansies. So they'll go after your family, your pets, people you care about. That's what it's going to look like in my view. Then you'll know it's on. And by the way, Peter Barichalka, another article in American Thinker about the Portland riots. But let's bring, I don't want to take any more time from my guest, Richard Proctor, Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com. You know, if you haven't done so already, look, I'm going to tell you this right now. We need the information about our Constitution. Yeah, Constitution, you can read the Constitution, but are you really understanding what the Constitution has said? Or is saying, I should say. Saving the Constitution will help you. It's helped me immensely. And not just saving the Constitution. Go to ProvostInstitute.com and get all of the books, including the Liberty Series, which, you know what? For the money, you cannot beat it. I can't remember how much it is, but I'll tell you what, I think people pay more for a carton of cigarettes. I don't know. Than the Liberty, is that right? I mean, cigarettes are like anywhere, 70, 80 bucks a carton, 90 bucks a carton. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I guess what I'm saying to you is it's assuming you smoke, give it up for a week or cut down for a week, but commit the money. For the Liberty Series. I'm pushing the Liberty Series because I like it. I read through it and it's given me a kind of a wider, broader understanding of everything. But saving the Constitution, you should get one, get two, get three. Send one to your pastor, send one to your representative, send one to your state rep, your congressional rep, your state or U.S. senator. I'm serious. Inundate them with this book. Look, saving the Constitution is so necessary. So that's it. Because I get emails saying, "Well, why are you pushing books? I'm always pushing books." Yeah, because there's knowledge in these books, and I'm not gonna further defend that request or define the request. You get the idea. Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com, by the way. Just a fantastic author, as well as Bathroom Economics. Oh my goodness, that's a great book. I didn't even mention that, but and some other books there. Dr. Proctor, how you doing?
It is a good day. Am I back on again? Okay, well then,
yes,
I've got to change my glasses. Yes, sirree, Bob. I've got to change my glasses. All right.
Hey, you know.
There you go, guys. There's your face covering.
I like that. Now, I'm not unfamiliar with that. I just want you to send me one. I just want one. Can you buy those? I mean.
I just got them at Amazon. I got two of them, one for my wife, one for me.
Now, have you tried this out? I got to ask you, have you tried this out anywhere?
I'm going to, on the 24th, 25th, I'm going to take this mask and wear it in the grocery store.
Can you wear a GoPro or something? Make sure you record that. I want to see that. I agree with you. Your state, where you live, they just said, yeah, you got to wear masks, right?
Yep. Well, the state hasn't said it for sure positive, but businesses are. So if a business requires it, this is what I'm wearing. Usually I wouldn't even frequent, but some of them, now it's getting so universal that I won't be able to buy anything. So I got my protection. I'm hoping the little kids look at this and laugh. I'm hoping the parents look at it and grin. Yes.
This is going to be we need this. We're going to have to capture this. This is good. I like this. I think that's appropriate for what we're dealing with today, don't you?
Oh, yes, it is. It's absolutely appropriate. This is kind of a little satanic. It's absolutely appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well,
I got it at Amazon.
Okay.
Coming sets of two. Only $11 plus shipping unless you're a priority guy. I mean, a premier, whatever they call that.
Whatever.
And then it doesn't cost anything. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, Eric the Tech, we need to remember this, right? We need to do this.
I just wanted to emphasize the stupidity of masks.
Well, you know, at HagmanReport.com, and folks, you can go there. There's a scientific study done 5 years ago, and it's peer-reviewed. And masks don't do anything except make it worse. It's bottom line. You're right. I mean, yeah, so.
Anyway. I've made my statement. Now I'm going to get back in serious business here.
It's a little warm in there.
It's all serious business.
Yeah.
Can't wear my glasses with it. It's too tight to the face. That doesn't matter.
You can wear them over the mask, which there's a little okay, by the way, folks, reality check, Ben Swan. Mask, you want science? Well, there it is. He gets into the mask. And let me tell you something. I think it's 12 minutes, and it tells you that, number one, the mask that you see people wearing – you know, the paper mask? Nope. Sorry. Number two, the cloth mask? Yeah. That just makes things worse. So, I don't get this. I don't get this. Dr. Proctor, help me. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, you know, it's we're sheep. We're sheep. We believe that whatever the government says is perfect. We should do that. He's going to take care of us. We need somebody to take care of us. We're not able to take care of ourselves. Oh, no, what will we do? Oh. And so we do exactly what the government tells us to do. Now, here's another interesting statistic, fact, situation. 90% of the people in our country do not have any credibility in the media, or at least that's what they say. I mean, the media's percentage of credibility is like 11%, 15, 12, some such thing.
They don't have any belief in the media. Right.
As soon as the media started saying this, everybody said, oh, well, this must be right. The media's saying it.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, if the media started to say, no, we made a mistake, we shouldn't have done it, they'll say, aha, now they're lying to us. We need to do it. I guarantee you that's what will happen.
Walk me through that again. So if they said, wait a minute, we made a mistake, masks, you shouldn't wear masks, people would say.
Yes, I should. You told me to. I should. You're lying to me now. Before you were honest, now you're lying to me. I need to wear a mask. I've got to protect myself. And now you're telling me not to? Oh, no, no, I won't believe that. They believed it when it was time to put it on. They will not believe it when it's time to take it off.
Why?
Neither will social distancing change. Neither will all these plexiglass things in front of the counters change. All these things are going to become a part of our society. And we've got to do something about it, but nobody seems to want to. So it doesn't happen. Everybody just runs around saying, well, the government said I should, or the pastor said I should, or somebody said I should, so I will. Rather than say, why is the government denying me my rights?
Okay. I need to ask you this question. Since you brought this up, because my wife and I were talking about this, I refused to go in the store. So, the store we went to has this thing where you can, I don't know what she did. She somehow they brought this stuff out to the vehicle, all right? So I saw a ride with you up there. And, you know, we're talking. We're watching people. Everyone's got masks. You're right, the glass is up. I guess, doctor, what is the end game here? What's the end game? What are we looking at here? And folks, do not send me an email and comment and say, well, you're an idiot, because I'll slap you silly. All right, go ahead. What's the end game here?
No, the end game is very, very serious. You see, the folks that are trying to take over our country have been doing it since the day the Constitution was ratified in 1788. This power behind the scene has been trying to destroy our country since that date. Okay? They've tested this. They've tried that. They've tried the other. Sometimes we wouldn't accept it. Sometimes we would. We've been involved in wars that they perpetrated for us to be involved in. We've done everything they've wanted us to do, but they want more. They want to get us under their thumb. So they're testing to see what we will respond to. And we're absolutely astounding them. We are astounding them because we're giving up so fast. We're saying, oh, yes, oh, I want that. Oh, yeah, yeah. And we are doing exactly what they want us to do without any problem. We just run out and do it. They like it. They're going to do something more. Last week, I may have mentioned this last week, I'll mention it again today. Within a course of 2-3 days, okay, 3 studies came out simultaneously from different labs that say, oh, the immunized, when you get this disease, it doesn't immunize your body against it like we thought it was going to.
Right.
We thought once you had it, it would immunize you for the future. But no, 2-3 weeks out, you can get it again. Oh, no. And when we do the vaccine, it's going to be 2 shots, and then you're going to have boosters regularly, else you'll continue to get it. Now, 3 places came out with that simultaneously. And that wasn't planned. Come now, simultaneous? That wasn't planned. Bingo, this plan is to keep this going forever. Since we've bought into it, they're not going to go away from it. They know we'll accept it. Now they're just going to keep us and keep us more and more involved. Utah wasn't so strong on masks, but we had 800 cases, all perverted. They were all add. This guy was tested 20 times. This guy's tested 30. This guy was tested 15. And all those add up to 800. Oh, we got 800 cases. Oh my, we better do more. So now everybody is trying to have masks here in Utah. You see the pattern? You see? Make up stuff. The bigger the lie, the more acceptable it is. The oftener you repeat it, the more true it is. It's a propaganda business. It's an advertising business. People in the advertising game have been doing it on TV and radio forever. They know if I just repeat something over and over and over again, eventually people will buy it. Just do it over and over and over and over. They'll buy it. No matter that it's a lie, no matter that's not important. What's important is they will accept it. And that's what the goal is. End game is to get us completely under their thumb, under the United Nations Armed Forces, which they don't have any right now. But if they coerce the United States to become their armed forces, then we will. We'll have our own men and women in the armed forces fighting against us because we've been corrupted into the United Nations force. And that's the goal. Kissinger said it. You'll be tickled to death to ask. You'll be tickled to death here in the future when we demand martial law from the United Nations to protect ourselves. That's where it's going. The goal is destroy this country and get everybody as slaves. And the reason that goal is so important to our country is because we are the only country in the world that has a government like ours, and they need to destroy it. Then there will be no recourse for anybody else to come here. No recourse, because here won't be any different. Now, here's another item. We need to take all these things historically into consideration. Economics, okay? Let's look a little bit about economics. During the entire time of the Cold War, all the way from the 20s until the 90s, the Russian government could not feed its citizens. They came to us every year constantly for food, and we provided it. They paid for it. Well, maybe they didn't, but they pretended to pay for it. But we provided it. If we had not provided food for Russia, people would have starved to death, and the entire regime would have collapsed. Well, if we don't have any food either, where will these people come for food? If we don't have any food either, where will all these socialist countries come to get food? And that's the goal, to have absolute dire minimum subsistence. Keep people worried about their tummies and worried about observation so they won't revolt. They're more interested in their tummies than they are in a revolution. Because you see, you can survive without the revolution. You cannot survive without the food. So they give us a starvation diet to keep us under subsistence. That's what they did in Russia for 70 years. Did I just do 20 off 90? Yeah, 70 years. Kept the people on a very tight, very tight diet. Line, get in the line. It's there. Something's going to be there we want. Get in the line, quick. Guys,
so,
go ahead.
No, okay. I'm trying to think this through. We have this disease, or this alleged virus. I'm sorry, this alleged virus. And it's, oh gosh, oh, it's the end of the world. You know, just like Y2K was the end of the world. I mean, I get, all right, so it's the end of the world. So now we need to shut down the economy, make people wear masks, put up plexiglass in businesses, 6 feet apart. And then you make a leap from there to no food. What did I miss in between?
This moment. No food is already happening at this moment.
Because of
lockdown. Restaurants closed. Farmers are destroying food rather than send it in. It's happening right now. Aluminum cans, if I understand, are becoming a shortage. Because nobody's around working to manufacture these things. It's occurring as we speak.
How long is it going to take?
Oh, keeps going like this, 3 or 4 more months, and we will be at a point of no return. Without blood shed and long, hard work to get back.
Who's responsible for this? Now, that question, when I asked that question, specifically.
Specifically?
Specifically.
By name?
Or office, yes.
Yes, by name. Rothschild, Lazard, Kuhnlo, Harriman, those people. They're listed on the second page of Volume 1.
Where they live.
The preface, by name.
Give me their addresses.
Their addresses? Europe.
How do we get there, Eric? Because somebody can get us to Europe? We're going to take a road trip. Apparently.
Yes.
Apparently we're on a road trip.
You have to go to special banks. To see these guys, you got to go to special banks. I associated with these special banks a little bit. Didn't work out. But I was going to make some money in these special banks. Didn't work out. I didn't have enough. Had to have $2 or $3 million. I didn't have it. But the point I'm making is there are special banks in Europe that are trading banks, but they do not have deposits. They do not loan money as we think of it. They loan money to big business, 7.5%, 10-year maturity. These banks loan money to, General Electric, if they want to. It's big enough. Only the big companies. These people say, we would like to have $5 billion, please. Loan it to us. So this is how it works. $5 billion, they write a note. Now, they won't write a note for $5 billion. They'll probably write a note for $100 million, and there will be a lot of them, okay? That'd be about 50 notes of $100 million each, if I've got my math right. Now, that's $5 billion. Then there's a group of traders at different levels. The first group of traders will commit to buy the first $100 million loan, package, that first package, $100 million. And they'll buy it for $50 million. Then they'll turn around and go to the next level. These people all buy into these levels. They're traders, special. The next guy will buy it from him for $60 million. The next guy will buy it from him for $70 million. Got the idea? Up till and they sell it to the insurance companies and the pension funds for $100 million. Okay, now, what we've done is we have created, out of thin air, $50 million in that negotiation. Now, none of that negotiation has taken place. It's all just lined up to be done. Okay? Everybody's ready to buy. When the whole thing is put together, the first guy says, go. And he buys and sells. Within 8 hours, every bit of that transaction's done, and $50 million were created that week. Now, the person who requested the $100 million loan is expecting $50 million. Well, the $5 billion loan is expecting one half of that, $2.5 billion. He's expecting that. That's why it was written for what it was written. Now, the last person, the last buyer, the pension funds and the insurance companies, those guys, big bucks, those guys have bought it. They hold it. They get their 7.5% interest every year. Look at what 7.5% interest on $5 billion. Whoa. Anyway, they get their interest every year. And at the end, 10 years, it matures and they trade it in, get their $5 billion back. And it works. It's done that way. Now, have we ever seen it happen in full bore? Yes, we have. The 1970s, you look in the back of my charts, of my books, you will find a money chart that shows all of the M3 money from 1932 to 2005. Yeah, 2005. How much M3 money there was. Go to that chart and see what the M3 money supply was in January of 1969. Then go to see what the M3 money supply was in January of 1980. That's 11 years. Just go compare that. See what's happened. All of that money was created through this system. But then the problem, the inflation slowed down because now they were maturing. So as they mature, they replace rather than write new. So it's revolving, maturing. Okay. Do you remember the 70s, folks, how your mortgages went up skyrocketing? Do you remember all the inflation of the 70s?
Yeah.
There's the reason right there. The Federal Reserve was actually the root control is the Federal Reserve, and they were controlling it, and those loans were going out, and they were creating money. That 1 week I just talked about, 1 8-hour period created $50 million in that 1 week, distributed among those traders. The next week they do it again. Remember, they split it up into 10 pieces. The next week they do it again. 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 At the end of 10, they find another one and start all over again. That's how it's done.
I got to tell you, I'm just a simple guy. I don't know. I mean, by the way, I understand the charts and I understand what you just said, but I'm a simple guy. That to me is just, you know,
yes.
You go back in time, we're going to have to dig some people up and never mind.
The point I'm only making here, my experience is in actuality, I was involved in trying to sell those loans. Okay. I never got one sold because I didn't have enough money. I couldn't find enough, but I was involved with the traders and the administrators that were working with the traders in England. I know how that works. If I could have gotten it done, I could have gotten a part of that $50 million every week. Could have been. And anyone who participates in this does. By the way.
Then you would have been on that list. You would have been on my list, right? Am I wrong? I mean, you take part of that. That's, you're screwing the people.
That's bad. Oh, yes, it was bad. But I was attempting to do it. I wanted some money. I needed some money. So I found out about this, and so I went to work to get it. Couldn't do it. I would have if I could have. I guess I'm not as good a guy as people want to think I am. I would have done it. But that's the root cause of the whole inflation of the 70s right there.
If you had the money, this might be an unfair question.
The money today, would I invest in these bonds?
Yes.
They're 5-year investment bonds. Doug, I would. Now, why did I say that? Because today it's not destroying the economy like it did before. It's just flowing. The same money is being lended over and over and over again. So it's not creating the money that it created in the 70s. It's just flowing. Although it's not up to billion, it's up to hundreds of billions now, not 5 billion. It works. It's done. It's being done today. It's being done today.
But that's like saying, well, the house is already on fire, so if I, you know, torch the shed, it really is not going to make that much of a difference, in a sense.
Well, it is like that. I'm have to admit that that kind of a thing isn't exactly the best thing, okay?
Mm.
But $1 million a week was kind of a...
$1 million a week?
Yeah.
I couldn't spend... I mean... I can't even think in those terms. I don't know. I'm
not going to say it would have been $1 million a week because it's divided among all the people who invested, but it would have been a double of my money or a replacement of my money every week. So if I put in $1 million, it would be $1 million a week. If I put in 500,000 or 200,000 or 100,000 or 10,000, it would be that much every week. And there's no risk.
No
Did
risk.
You hear what I said? There is no risk. You have to deposit the amount that you're going to invest, $10,000. You must deposit. The money must be clean, can't have any drug relation, can't have any theft. It must be clean money, and it must be deposited in one of those European banks before they can go to work doing the trades. But they can't touch it. It's in your name, the bank. They look at it, so they know it's there. Then they use their own money. So your money's not touched. You just put it there, and that authorizes them to use their money. And then they do. They use their money to make those exchanges. But the bottom line is nobody actually spends any money on these exchanges because it happens in 8 hours. The first trader, he buys it for 50 million and then sells it within an hour for 60 million and pockets 10.
Yeah, that sounds... That sounds normal.
That's how it's done. And banks do this, by the way, every day. I'm sorry, guys. Banks are doing this right now in the United States. Not the same way, but they're doing the same thing. We talked about the car, didn't we?
Yeah.
You buy the car. What does the bank do with the money when you make your payments? They keep it. They're stealing that money from you. That's how it works. That's our banking system. It's universal.
Okay, but let's go back to the car for a second. I just want to revisit this, and forgive me. I'm not trying to be deliberately obtuse at all.
No, you're just trying to make it clear so I won't just jump over things. You're trying to make it clear.
Well,
I understand.
Okay, so I get a car for 10 grand. 10 grand. Is that okay?
Doesn't matter.
All right,
any number.
10 grand. So the bank pays the car dealer or whoever the car, where I buy the car from, 10 grand, and I pay the bank back 10 grand. Tell me where I'm off here.
Oh, you're not off at all. That's precisely correct, except the bank did not pay money to the dealership. It gave them a check.
Yeah.
They didn't take any cash, didn't take any gold, they didn't take anything. They gave them a check.
All right.
When they got the check, the dealership had money. It was legitimate. They spent it, paid everything. But the bank didn't have any money when they wrote the check because the check was written on a deposit. You make a deposit of $10,000, $5,000, doesn't matter what. What does the bank do with that deposit?
Oh, okay. All right.
It loans out 90%.
All right. I got it. And folks, I hope hopefully that helped you too. That's why I did it. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. See, we'd make deposits every day into the banking system. And I don't say we shouldn't do that. I'm just saying what they're going to do with it when they get it. They're going to turn around and loan out 90%. What's 90% of $10,000? $9,000. They're going to loan out $9,000. The second loan, after they get that loan, they'll get collateral. They'll have assets. They'll have assets in the bank again of an additional $9,000. So that can now can loan out 90% of that 9,000, which is 8,100. Where did that 8,100 come from? You didn't deposit it. Where did it come from? The next time they loan out 7,200, then 63, then 54, then 45, then 40. And it adds up when you finish, it adds up to $90,000. You deposited 10, they loaned out 90,000 and kept 10 in their vaults.
So if everyone, and we know this, as everyone wanted their money.
At the same time.
Yeah.
They couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Close the door. So what happened? The guys in charge, i.e., Pratt House in New York City, they decided they're gonna pull the wool over our eyes. Let's give them insurance. Now they know that if they have a house burned down, the insurance will pay for it. They get their car wrecked, the insurance will pay for it. They know that. They're used to insurance. So let's give them banking insurance. Yes, aha. We will insure your money in the bank. FDIC is born. Mm-hmm. They call that the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation.
Up to a quarter of a million, I guess, right? Or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's more than I have to worry about.
Do not insure your money. They cannot insure your money.
Wait.
They don't have enough money to insure it. It's not insurance.
So, good luck with that. Huh?
Well, let me answer that question. Let me answer that. They don't have the money to insure it. All the banks that are using FDIC pay a certain percentage of their deposits every month or every so often, however, but it's never more than 2 or 3% of what they need. So they can bail out the first bank and maybe the second bank. After that, they can't. What do? They go to the Federal Reserve prints money and gives it to them. That's how they insure your money, by printing more, which means by the time they're done, that every dollar you have is worth half as much as it was. These are all economic functions, guys. I'm sorry. These are just bare bones economic functions. Am I going to say it this way? Don't try to wrap your mind around it till you've got more economics background. Just take my word for it. It's perfect economics. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, look, you explain it well. I just need more mailbox, I guess. I don't know.
My book, Bathroom Economics, helps understand this concept.
Yeah, actually, it does. And I value that book a lot.
Yeah. If you really want to get your mind around it, you need to be a part of the school, Provost Institute of Political Economics, and we can help you get your mind around those kinds of things completely.
I'd be graduating afraid, I think. Not really. I mean, very much. What you just explained, too, about the big money, you know, that millions and millions, 50 to 60 million and stuff. I mean, the graduates would understand that, and maybe they could take advantage of stuff like that, right? I mean.
Oh, I'm not recommending people take advantage of stuff like that. What I'm recommending is get all your loans paid off so you don't have any debt.
Massive.
I am recommending that.
Yeah, I don't like owing people, and you're right. I think that's what we need to do. By the way, it's ProvostInstitute.com is my Richard Proctor is my guest. ProvostInstitute.com is the place to go to get the books. I'm serious. Saving the Constitution is very important. All the economic books as well as the Liberty series. Just go and look at the books at ProvostInstitute.com. The link's going to be in the program description box. Where? Not on YouTube, but at HagmanReportLive.com. That's where you can find it. So do that today and take advantage of it. The economic books are fabulous. And you know, although I want to say I feigned ignorance. No, I didn't really feign ignorance. It's very well explained in the books. Sometimes though, it is hard to get your mind around, or you don't want to believe what's going on. There's kind of a cognitive dissonance thing going on there.
That's a key phrase, Doug.
Yeah.
We don't want to believe that anybody's really doing this to us.
Yeah.
We don't want to believe it. I have a little phrase here I read all the time. If facts don't confirm your beliefs, you won't accept them.
Yes. I understand that. Belief is the driver of action as well. And that's yes. Yeah. And, they're right. If you're exactly right on that statement.
That whole thing I just talked about the banks is actually done every day today, every day today, every minute today. The banks never loan out any money. They don't have any money. Federal Reserve doesn't have any money. They just have accounting entries. Banks don't have any money. They just have accounting entries. Sure, they keep some. Federal Reserve doesn't keep any, but the banks do keep some. I shouldn't say they don't have any money because that's not true. But what they're loaning is fiat currency, which means money backed by air. That's what they're loaning.
That's encouraging.
That $10,000, if you go through the first two steps, and there are multiple steps, but if you just do the first two steps, that $10,000 deposit that I mentioned, if it's loaned out completely for the first two steps, the bank loans out $900,000 and collects interest on it at least to the tune of $80,000 a year while they pay you $25,000. That's going on, guys.
Wow. Okay. By the way, Richard, Dr. Proctor, you can talk about anything you want. I mean, I want to make sure this slate is clean for you. You can talk about anything you want. I thought that was very interesting, though.
I kind of like to talk about the direction that I'm given. I'm given a little bit of direction here. I've been thinking about this. Color of law. We have a new item. It just came to my attention. Good old Ted White out in Hawaii. He does a good job. New piece of information. Everybody can get from me if they want it. It's an 8-page document. Okay? It's called, this time, U.S. Title 42, Section 1983. This time, not only do we have the title, we have also all of the history of what's going on that particular subject for a lot of years. And the in and outs of the Supreme Court doing or not doing, and the in and outs of the exact legal interpretation. It is very difficult to read. So I don't recommend reading anything but the first little bit. But the point is, it's available, 8-page legal document about Title 42, Section 1983. That section again reiterates that government does not have power to take away your God-given constitutional rights. But this time, the attorneys can read attorney language rather than just have you say, well, they can't do it. This time we have attorney language. Ted's done a good job. The information, where it comes from, is on the document. So you can read it yourself online if you want to, or you can just read the document because they're the same. I copied them word for word. I copied the whole thing. All the Supreme Court stuff, all the legal stuff, I don't know what it means. I can't read all that stuff. I'm not an attorney, but I know what it says. It says, leave my rights alone. That's what it says. This time we have the law and the Supreme Court behind us. How about that? Section 1983.
USC 42, Section 1983.
USC 42, right. Federal law, federal law. And this time we have the history of it over a significant period of time as the Supreme Court has talked about this and talked about that and done this and done that and done the other. And all the cases are in there, too. I mean, it's full of stuff. I just know it's there. And you can read it for yourself online if you want to. The reference for it is on the first page. And you can take that reference and go to the actual spot and read it yourself. Legal dictionary, what it says. Legal dictionary. Guys, we have lots. If we just would do something, we have lots. I want everybody to know that. Ted sent that to me. I've looked it over, made a file that I can send to everybody. Oh, and I appreciate getting the file on the Rockefeller Foundation, too. I have that file in my possession now also. And I've read through page 18, not chapter 18. I've read through page 18. Scenarios, they call it.
Right.
And
I've read through that. Isn't that special?
Yes. It's very good. I haven't read the whole document yet, but I'm going to. Guys, these are the things that are going on. We must pay attention. We must. Now, some of the folks have been complaining to me in writing that they're having trouble getting any attorneys to do anything. And this document that I've distributed only talks about government. It doesn't talk about private property. A person, a business owns their building, owns their land. Well, maybe they don't own it, but they rent it. They own their place. They own their private property and they can control what happens to their private property on their line just the same as you can control it on your land. So they have the same right to do what they wish to do with their private property. Very important. So how do we get to the nub of that? Well, you know, if tomorrow, Doug, you went into the store and you bought some tainted meat and you got food poisoning from it, would you not have the option to go back to that store and sue them for that problem?
Oh, yes, but
I don't know if you want to do it or not, but the option is there.
The option is there at this moment in time. The option is there.
It's there. Okay.
Yeah.
What if the company, the same corporation, the same organization, is denying you your right to have products you need to live? Is that unhealthy? That company you need to buy from, or you want to buy from, is denying you the opportunity to buy from them because of their rules in their particular company.
Well,
I'm talking class action suits again, big stuff.
Okay, but you're talking, I'm trying to think constitutionally, legally. In other words, if I have my company. So let's say, I don't know.
You have the right to do what you want with your company.
Right.
But I feel that you are jeopardizing my health in any way, shape, or form, I can go to court and demand that you allow me to buy without those restrictions. I can.
Okay, jeopardizing.
You're jeopardizing my ability, my lifestyle, my life, by your rules.
But I'm a private company.
Especially if it's the only grocery store within 100 miles.
Okay.
The concept is you have a right to legally demand that company not step on your right to live either. You see this? Now, attorneys do this all the time. I'm not going to say that I could do this. No, I can't do it. I'm not going to say I would do it, but it's there to be done. What we need to do, if we need to find a way to get our companies open again, we need to get back. Say, let's say, for example, tomorrow, the government that you live in, the state you live in, wherever it is, says no more lockdown. You can do what you want. So you go back to try to get back to work and you cannot because there's nothing being produced for you to buy to sell. Now it's the corporations that are not producing and are not doing. You see, we're going after not the government, but the corporation, so that the corporations cannot hide behind government edicts, or the government cannot say to the corporation, do it, and they do it, hiding behind the government. You see, they're doing it. The government's not. So color of law doesn't work.
Right.
But if they're doing it because the government told them to do it, and they're doing it for that purpose, now, go after the corporation. Class action suits, the attorneys should be lining up. They should be salivating over this.
Okay. How about a real-life example, if you don't mind?
Of something like this has really happened? It was done with Indian lands. Guys did class action suits against the government on Indian lands, and the Indians won, and the attorneys were wealthy from then on, forever. And the Indians won, the government had to pay. Class action suits against the government for Indian lands happened in the past.
And this is all consistent with the Constitution.
Oh, yes. It's all consistent because the government is not violating the Constitution. They have convinced the corporation to do it. So now you're going after the corporation because your rights are being violated by the corporation, not by the government.
All right. So, okay. How about this? In my town where I live, all the grocery stores are out of business because why? Because they can't, because of the lockdown.
Yes, that's a different thing now. Okay. They're out of business. I'm ready to sell. Lockdown's done. They're done.
Okay. So now the only place I can go. Okay. But the only place I can go is Walmart. I'm just saying this as an example.
Okay, the only thing open is Walmart?
As an example, sure.
As an example, sure enough.
Okay,
enough.
So now I want to go to Walmart, but hey, it's my body, my choice. I'm going to leave my face mask off, And I can't because Walmart won't let me in. But they're a private business.
And it's a health risk for you to inhale your carbon dioxide through that mask over and over and over again.
It sure is.
That's a health risk. That's a bad health risk. In fact, there are companies now selling filtration systems to homes because they know that the air in a home could be less than valuable, and most of the diseases occur in homes because the air is not good, not a good quality. So go wear a mask. Now, none of your air is good quality anywhere. So you see, you've got a government organization telling you you got to have good air in your home, while at the same time they tell you you don't need good air behind your mask.
Well, don't worry about the mask. ChamOis has got it all covered. ChamOis is not selling masks. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, so here you go. Right. Here you go. You do not want to go wear that mask because it's a health hazard for your health, breathing in that carbon dioxide all the time you're there. It's a health risk.
Right. So, but I can't walk in Walmart because there's a security guard standing there with a Nerf gun and a skull on his face. And I got a bunch of screaming little.
You can't buy. So they are denying you the opportunity to subsist. Class action suit, folks. Against the corporation, not against the government.
Which is going back to USC 42, Section 1983.
Yep. And
see what
Title 18, Section 242. Both of them together.
Right.
They're both federal law, enforced, but the second one has all the legal terminology of why it is enforced. Everything. Including people who are immune based upon what they do. It's all there. It's right there. So the people I mean immune, they're immune from suit. But that's just in certain circumstances. They're not immune most of the time, just some of the time. Bottom line, it's all written in this document, section 1983, title 240, I'm sorry, title 42, USC code, United States code.
I'll put the link in the program description box. USC 42, section 1983.
Yep, that's all.
Yeah.
I'll send it to them. It's an 8-page document, very complicated. Go. But all you got to do is take the 8-page document, copy it out, take it to your attorney and say, class action suit.
And he'll say, yeah, 50 grand, please, and about other people.
They do class action suits based on the take. They don't charge you. Class action suits, everybody gathers together and says, we want to do it. The attorneys do it. And then they take a portion of the money, and they go home wealthy.
They do, but
yes,
do you realize? I've said this. I said this to my wife. I'm going to say this to you. I said it to Eric the Tech and some other people. It seems as though, and folks, maybe translate this for me if you want, or tell me if you feel the same way. But I feel like I cannot pay someone to give a damn. Okay. I can't pay an attorney to give a damn. I can't pay just about any professional to care.
Yeah, they don't care. They only care about money.
But
if you have enough, they'll care.
There it is.
All money, guys. It's all money. And class action suits make more money for attorneys than anything else.
Okay.
And it's done all the time. It's a common legal practice. I'm probably involved in 8 or 10 class action suits right now because I bought goods from a particular company during a particular time frame, and they're being penalized during that time frame, so I'm a part of it.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know how it'll come out. I'm not paying any attention. Don't care. But the attorneys care.
Okay. But to what? But and here again. What you said, though, earlier on about, how long, if this keeps going on, the way things are going, we got maybe 3-4 months before everything just unravels at the seams.
Doug, as soon as attorneys start doing class action suits, things will change. We don't wait for the ending. The start, things will change.
All right.
People have got to do something to get these people to change what they're doing. And they keep coming back with new things to swag us with. Well, there's always a way for the attorneys to get involved if they will, and they will only get involved if there's enough money for them.
All right. Okay. I'm there. I mean, I'm on board with that. If you can find an attorney who cares enough to, and I know you say the money's good at the end and stuff, but my experience with attorneys has been less than stellar, I believe. I retract that. My experience has been attorneys are really kind of mousy when it comes to things of this nature.
But Doug, you were talking about your experience individually. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the group's experience. My experience individually right now is I'm on several class action suits, have nothing to do with it. I only know I am because they sent me a letter.
Then I want your attorneys. Okay. So, all right.
I mean, I never communicated with these attorneys or anybody ever, and I don't communicate now. I'm just waiting for the results. But the fact that it's happening has put another company, a company that violated something, on watch, you might say.
Right.
And other companies see that happening. So they don't want to have that happen to them because they know what class action suits are. The number of class action suits against who bought Roundup? A Bayer? Why, it's enormous. There's thousands of suits against Bayer because of Roundup. Whether it's validity, whether it's valid or not. The attorneys are just lapping it up.
It's whoever made that decision's having a bad day.
Yeah.
Bad year. Yeah. Bad life.
Bad year. Yeah, it'd be better not to have purchased Roundup.
But hey, looks like I got an idea.
It happens every day. Roundup's a good product. I use it all the time.
Oh, yeah, but cancer?
Oh. Do you really think that all these people got cancer from using Roundup? Or do you think all these people are after their piece of the money?
You're so cynical.
Yes, I am. People want money. They'll do whatever they can do to get it. That's how come there are so many cases in court about injury. Oh, I'm terrible shape. And they got a doctor that'll sign this thing. Oh, I'm terrible shape. But in reality, they're playing basketball.
That's how I make my living sometimes.
Yep.
I mean, not all the time. I mean, there are companies out there who are paying just tremendous amounts of money in settlements. But, oh, my gosh, I slipped in your produce aisle and it was your negligence. So, you know, I'm suing you for $10 million for future injuries because, oh, I can't work and I can't think because I'm in so much pain. And they're out there water skiing for crying out loud.
Yep, that's right. I live next to one of these guys. He had a good income from disability.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't disabled at all.
No.
He was a baseball umpire, did all the stuff involved with that. He climbed on the roof, did everything around the neighborhood to fix people's stuff. He was a hardworking dude, but not when it came time to talk about his disability. Then he wasn't a hardworking dude.
Yeah, I got to tell you something. It's relevant, but it really isn't. There's a county judge who claimed an injury from a car accident, which – that was like really okay. That whole thing, that was strange. The car accident itself was strange. But now you gotta understand, this guy's a judge. I mean, a judge. You know,
part of the legal system.
Gavel. I want to give you. I don't want to say who it is, but anyway. So. He was insured, or the insurance company that he was suing, I just want to keep names out of it, is somewhat local. And you know that folks know the story anyway, but I think if you live in this town. So the judge, I can't do anything because car accident, you know, my neck and oh God, it should hurt. Now this is a judge on the bench sending people to jail. He's using his, by the way, court stationery to send messages to the insurance company. And anyway, he's so bad, the insurance, he had to take some time off of work, and they caught him down parasailing.
Yeah. Yes. There are investigative agencies to find that out.
I judge. Saw ya. You don't make many friends when you do that, by the way.
Money is a driver. I hate to say it. I hate to believe that money is a controlling factor for everything that goes on in our society, but it is, guys. It is the controlling factor. I would prefer it was not, but it is. I'm recommending that you use class action things to get your rights back. I'm recommending you use something to keep the Constitution viable, to keep the country viable.
How about a firearm? Seriously.
People who are doing, the people who are doing this to us is not really the people in that store. It's not the manager of the store.
No, I know.
It's the owner of the store. The owner of the store is doing it because people behind him, above him, are telling him to do it to be a part of the group that pays him money. I mean, guys, the money is driving this thing. Billions of dollars coming back to our country from Europe. When we send it to Europe, it comes back to our country, and it's used to destroy our republic. Any way they can do it. Now they're using this hoax to destroy our country. We must fight back somehow, or they will. And it's got to be legal. It can't be riots. We don't want guns in the streets. We don't want blood driving up the road. We don't want any of that. It's got to be done in a court legal system. And that's all I'm recommending. Keep the Constitution, keep our country safe by using courts where they're available to be used. The law's on the books. We don't have to make it up. We don't have to think of anything new. We don't have to pass anything new. Just use the laws that are on the books. It's like the Constitution. Just use the Constitution as it was written. As it was written. It was ratified in 1788 as an existing document. Article 6 says anything that changes this document is null and void. That's what Article 6 says. No law can change this document.
Well, then we got a whole hell of a boatload of laws that need to be not followed.
A bunch of them. Right. But those that are keeping our rights, let's not throw those out the window. Just know that the Constitution was written as a document that says anything that violates our rights is illegal. And then here's two laws, Section 242 and Section 1983, two laws on the federal bench, federal laws. And one of them, you have all the information from the Supreme Court saying it is legitimate. Use it to protect your liberty, to protect your Constitution, to protect your country. Use it. That's what a militia is for, too. I don't want a militia to ever shoot one rifle. Just having it is sufficient. In this case, just having some of those cases go is sufficient. It will fix the problem. But if nobody does anything, either militia or anything else, nobody does. They just sit back and say, oh, well, I don't know. I guess it's all right. Government's doing it. You won't have rights in a year, maybe 6 months. Guys, that's where we are today. You got to use the system that's legal. Don't shoot people. Use the legal system. It can work.
It's not the justice system. It's the legal system.
The legal system, the justice system went out the door decades ago.
Believe me,
there's no blind... Yeah, there's no blind person with a scale. Blind scale, justice, nope, doesn't exist. Scale is tilted, the person's not blind.
Yeah. And sometimes justice you have to work for it. I mean, believe me, from personal experience.
Absolutely.
You gotta get in people's faces. I mean, if you just a piece of advice for people out there, if you've been something happened to your family, just saying, and the DA doesn't want to deal with it or the police don't want to deal with it, you go down to the DA and you get in their face and you say, look, here's the deal, you know, and you get in their face. I mean, nicely, but you make your point and you say either you do this, either you do this or you can fill out the rest. But yes, that's what we need to do.
Yes. And these concepts of 1983 and 242 give us legal right to do it.
Yes.
And the 1983, the Supreme Court has said, go ahead, do it. Now, that's a big deal. You know, I don't like the Supreme Court typically, but they're nice enough to do that. So let's use it.
Well,
we must do something. Short of, let's not have a war in the streets. Let's do something.
Well, I don't want a war in the streets. I mean, any sane individual does not want to see that happen. And I think what you're saying is going to stop that from happening. Okay. If it works, I guess that comma, if it works part is pretty important to the equation.
Yes, it is. It's important to the equation. It should work because it is law and it hasn't been verified as accurate and usable. It should work. I'm not going to guarantee the legal system. The justice system is gone. I don't know what the legal system will do in this particular case. But I do know it won't do anything at all if we don't do something. That I know. And if it doesn't work, well, we tried something to protect our lives and our stuff. If we don't do anything, that's the bad one. Well, you're talking to your grandkid in 2050. You say, well, you know, if I'd have done something, maybe we'd still have the rights I remember. Oh, the good old days when we could actually buy food and we can actually go out and do what we wanted to and have a car without waiting years and years. Oh, yes, it would be so nice. And if I had done something in 2020, maybe we would still have it. Oh, I'm so sorry I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Other than I did all I could in 2020 to help this not happen. I worked hard to help it not happen. Oh, I'm so sorry it happened, but I worked hard. That's the other side of that coin in that conversation.
This is a pretty deep conversation we're having. And I think people out there have probably gone through personal issues where you look back and you say, if I only did this, or boy, if I would have known, I mean, that one day, that decision I made right there, that was the turning point in either I should have done it or shouldn't have done it, whatever. But you look back and you have that, maybe that tinge of regret, and we can't afford to have that, especially now where we are with this country. And that's why you're saying, look, if we need to do something, something.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to say another thing right now, the book, Saving the Constitution. Yeah. If you don't have it, you don't know what your rights are.
True.
I'm sorry, guys.
Yep.
You've got to get it. And like I said a week ago, and people have responded. They understand what I said. I'm going to say it again. They can cut me down. They can shut my websites down. They can make my books illegal to mail because they're diversive. So we don't lose those books out. They're diversive. So don't mail them. Post office, stop mailing anything up from his address. They can do that, folks. When that happens, I can't get my books to you anymore. You can't get them. Even if you want them for $100 each, you can't get them. Folks, get them now. I've got them now. And I can mail them now. And we are. Now's the time. Now's the time. I sure would hate to have it come back to you and say, well, if I'd have just done it, I could have them. But I can't get them now. Oh, no. What will I do? Nothing.
I agree. And I would urge everyone to get, look, you better have a Bible in your house, better have multiple Bibles in your house.
Yes.
And you better have multiple copies of the Constitution, and you better have multiple copies of the Saving Constitution. That's what my view. I don't care. My book, books, Steve Quayle, I mean, those are good to have. You need this. And Steve, I love you, man. And I'm saying the same thing about my stuff too. I mean, you don't need mine. You need this.
And the Liberty series gives you the background of everything that's led up to the book Saving the Constitution.
Yes. Yes, but I still, you know, I still, man, I'm having a hard time here. I really am. Dr. Parker, by the way, folks, I want to make this announcement. It's 10 after the hour, 10 after the top of the hour. I make this announcement here to satellite networks and to the listeners. You were so gracious to, folks, you know, beginning on Monday, right, beginning this coming Monday, for 2 weeks, we are going to be off air, the normal show, off air. Now we will be replaying the best of on days appropriate. So like Wednesdays, you know, you'll have self Dr. Proctor on Tuesdays, yeah, stand down. So you get the idea. But we're doing this for a reason. First of all, Eric the Tech is about fried. So we're going to give him some time off. And, some other people that work with us are pretty well DOA. I mean, fried. But there's something that we're going to be doing. We are going to be, you heard Randy Taylor yesterday. I think it was yesterday or the day before, whenever it was. He'll be back on tomorrow. We're going to be infiltrating some, and we are. We have already, but some Antifa groups, both electronically as well as otherwise. I'll just leave it at that. And we're going to bring you the results of that as well as hopefully be a kind of, I don't want to say a Paul Revere kind of person, but we want to take care of some business. And we want to be more than a radio show. So Dr. Proctor was so supportive in our efforts. And I want to thank him publicly for that. And I want to tell you, as gracious as he is, I mean, look, folks, please, tonight, after the program, go to ProvisInstitute.com and get the Liberty Series, get Saving the Constitution next week. And tell your friends to post it everywhere. Post it everywhere. So two things. I'm going to try to do some reports on the field, or the office, depending on the day and the events and how things go throughout the day and what our results are. And, that'll be maybe a 2-3-4 minute update, 5 minute update. But so please support Dr. Proctor, Saving the Constitution. And again, I want to thank him for being so gracious, and those people who are going to, you know, hold on while for 2 weeks, give the people here some time off. We're not like InfoWars. They got 100 people support personnel. Us? No. We're still trying to get past the, let's say, 1, 2. Kind of like you, Dr. Proctor.
Yeah. Well, we're an operation of 2 people here. Oh, we have 1 half. Part-time working with us. We're operation of 2.
Yeah, same way. So thank you for being so gracious. But it's so important. Your book is so important. But okay, but you know, and take this wherever you want to go. I'm very concerned. I can see Donald Trump actually. I pray that we would get a constitutional president in there. Obviously, you know. That's my hope. But, if we're left with, table scraps, you can turn on the mic. I'd like to see Donald Trump in there. And but I don't know, man. What do you think? How do you think he's doing okay? I mean, you think I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to ask. What do you think of him?
Well, what do I think of Donald Trump? He's doing the best job he possibly can, given all the stuff that's against him everywhere. We must cut him some slack, folks. I couldn't have survived the first month of what he's being put through. It's absolutely horrible. And some of the people who support him are now saying, well, you're not doing enough good. You're no good. You're not doing enough good. Well, if he's not doing enough good, what would have happened if you hadn't voted him in the first place? I mean, folks, if he's done nothing else, he's stopped the march. Stopped that march. I mean, we were marching down the road 4 abreast with a goal in mind. Let's get there. And he said, no, stop. And we have. Oh, that's a benefit.
Yeah, I look, I'm 100% behind President Donald Trump. I want to tell everyone this. I don't believe he's been compromised. I don't believe that he's on the take. I don't believe that he's ineffective. I believe that he's getting, I mean, it's almost like whack-a-mole. He shows that he gets up in the morning and people are whacking at him. He goes out in the portico. People are metaphorically shooting at him. He goes to his own party. People are punching him. You know, it's like getting, it's like having somebody, do you ever have somebody poke you in the chest? I hate, boy, don't you ever poke me in the chest. I hate when people do that because I'll take your, anyway. That every single moment of every day, that's what he's enduring. And,
every single moment, not even when he's asleep, somebody's saying something negative.
Yeah.
And they're bashing him bad. And people who should be supporting him are bashing him bad. And people who voted for him, wanted him to do certain things, are bashing him because he couldn't get it done. For example, 501c3. He pledged to get that done. He could not. Why could he not do it? Because it's a law passed by Congress in 1956. You can't do that with an executive order. You must do that with Congress. And we did not support the president with a Congress that would help him do things.
I love it when you get fired up like that. Yeah, you're right.
We did not support him.
No.
So why can't we be critical? We didn't support him. We brought all those blasted Democrats into the House. We did that.
2010.
Yep.
It'll be 2018. Thank you. What am I thinking?
We did that, folks. We hamstrung him. We're the complainers hamstrung him. Oh, I cannot believe the stupidity at the voting booth. I'm sorry, folks. I can't believe it. You vote for a guy for president, bring him in. He doesn't do every blooming thing you want him to do. You don't vote for people who support him. You vote for people who will nick him as bad as possible. And they are. And you believe. Look what happened to Roy Moore in Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Outstanding person. 100% outstanding. But what did the bad guys do? They threw a few lies out there. And the people said, well, maybe it might be true. Oh, dear me, what will I do? Well, they didn't do anything. The other guy got elected. And now they're in deep Kempchi. Because they listened to the lies. And they all turned out to be lies, every bit of it. But they listened to him just long enough, just at the right moment, and he was not elected. So therefore, Trump did not have another person in the Senate to help him. We do that to him. We did that to him. You know, if everybody would vote the way everybody talks, okay, the whole Congress would be changed.
Yep.
The whole Congress would be changed this year. The whole Congress. There's probably not a person there you want to keep. There might be one or two, okay? I shouldn't say none.
But
I'll bet you 90% of them we could get rid of, and if we did, we'd have a better government, but we don't. We keep voting the same guys back in. Oh, those guys are all horrible. They're the worst. They weren't at work. But my guy's perfect, so I'm going to bring him in. I'll keep my guy in there because he's got seniority. He's got power. He's got this. Let's get him. Well, how's he using his seniority? How is he using his power? What is he doing for you? What is he doing for the country? Let's get rid of these guys that are incumbents that have been there for years. We are screwing ourselves because we won't do anything at the ballot box. I did it again,
though. I love it. You're right. And, you know, we're now, you and I think I think we can say we're pretty intelligent people, you and me, and the listeners and the viewers. Most of you guys.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. No.
They are. Yeah, they are. They are.
They're really. I think
they're smart folks.
They really are.
Yes.
But, you know, the person out there who doesn't watch this show, this platform, or doesn't listen to you or doesn't listen to others like us. Here's what they're up against. George Soros, okay? You were talking about, you know, voting people out and stuff. And in 2016, Soros dropped $2 million into a single sheriff race in Maricopa County, Arizona. Paul Pinzone won the election over Joe Arpaio. And I know Joe Arpaio. There it is right here. Here's an article. Soros aims to transform the justice system by funding DA races. Capital Research Center, December 17, 2019. Backed by Soros cash, radical district attorneys take control in D.C. suburbs. By the way, you know, the McCluskeys, the gun people in St. Louis, you know, that were where they were federally charged and the governor's going to pardon them. That's an expensive date, by the way. Going to have me go through that. Soros-backed DA, or the equivalent of the DA, county prosecutor. Complex lobbying, complex funding of an ideology of Black Lives Matter. This goes back to June of 2020, or last month. John Hayward wrote this. It's filled with examples of all this money, all this support. So, you know, the reason I said that is, you mentioned 501c3s. Right there.
Right there. Now, folks, you got to remember something that's important here. George Soros has so much money, $100 million doesn't matter to him. Doesn't matter to him. What does matter is power. He's buying power. He is not the only one. He's just the one that's visible. There are, shall we say, a dozen of them doing exactly the same thing, and $100 million is like you and I in dimes.
Can you honestly fathom that? I can't. I'm sorry. I can't. I go to the grocery store. My wife and I clip coupons, and we watch. We have a budget. We actually have a written budget. I mean, that's what we do. I can't imagine having discretionary income of in the thousands, let alone the million or the hundred millions.
You know, Doug, an interesting thing. I had a business one time. I sold it, and while I owned it, we were making a lot of money, okay? Just a dollar or two. We were making a lot of money. But I still didn't want to see the gas price go up a penny. I watched my money close.
Yeah.
We were making a lot of money. And we sold it for a huge bundle.
Well, okay, so you did it the American way. And by the way, folks, I generously tip, you know, somebody. That's not it. I'm not saying cheap, okay? I'm not cheap. But you watch your money, and you did it the right way. But people today, right now, I think a lot of people today are saying, man, you know, do I pay the gas bill, or do I pay for the private school, or do I, you know, I mean, there's decisions that have to be made. And I think we were forced into that position, going back to what you said. And this reminds me a lot of your Liberty Series writings, by the way. The Liberty Series, go to provostinstitute.com and get this. Because where we got here, how we got here, we're fighting the very same elements that you wrote about. We're fighting.
Yes, there's no difference.
Exactly. It's amazing to read that series and have a reference to really what's going on today.
All you have to do is read that, watch the patterns, and then look at what's happening.
Yeah.
This particular set of books will not go out of date because it's human nature.
Yep.
Just like the Ten Commandments don't go out of date. It's human nature. Just like the Constitution doesn't go out of date. It's human nature. All I've done is depict what's going on and what's been going on for a lot of time, 200 years. All I've done is depict what's happened. All you have to do is understand what's depicted and follow it and watch today, and you'll see the same stuff. I didn't write a thing about the World Trade Center or the Oklahoma City bombing, but you can see the pattern. When you look at the other things, you can see the pattern.
Yep.
Then you look at the results and what happened, you know how that happened. That's all you have to do.
And the events you wrote about, selected to write about, in my view, are perhaps the most, you can see transparent or instructive. I'll use that word, instructive. The most instructive.
Yeah, I believe in patterns.
Yeah.
I believe in patterns. If you see a pattern happening, you can anticipate that it will continue to happen, depending on who's doing it. If I see a person that's regularly stealing money, I can anticipate that he's going to steal money some more. He set a pattern. If I can see a person that's regularly very righteous and very good, then I see a pattern. That person will continue to be that way. Well, if a government is constantly prevaricating and constantly moving in certain ways, in using certain tactics, and that's the pattern, you can assume very rightly that same government will continue to do it. If you see a person doing a certain pattern, maybe her name is Nancy P. Anyway, Nancy with a P at the end, as first or the last one, you can see a pattern there. You can see what kind of a person she is just by looking at the pattern. She will always be that kind of person. Do we really need that kind of person anywhere around us? I wouldn't invite her to dinner. Oh, no, I wouldn't want that in my home. You see, watch patterns.
Watch patterns, watch trends. I think they're roughly the same. Patterns probably a patterns.
Remember, this is not all-inclusive. People can change their pattern. So you do have to be alert to that.
Well,
but remember, you've got to change it.
There's an inherent bias or an inherent people can change their modus operandi, their MOs, but generally speaking, they can't change their their makeup. Yeah, thank you. So,
personality, right?
Yeah, that's true. And the spiritual knowing what's good, or having a spiritual compass, spiritual and moral compass, I think that does not change.
Yes, Doug, your audience. I talk to a lot of people in the audience. They call me. I talk to them. I get emails. They talk to me different ways. They are very fine folk. I get all kinds of just absolutely nice, fine conversations. And I think you've got one of the best audiences there is, at least my experience with what they are. In general, these people are top-notch, good Christian people who want to follow the Lord in what he's doing, and they want to live the way he wants us to live. I like that. That's a good group of people. That's how I feel about the folks that have contacted me.
Kind of like you and me, in a sense. We share common values. We share common morals and stuff. Yeah, I would not trade this audience, the people who are listening and watch this for anyone. I mean that. Even the snarky ones sometimes. It's...
Well, they keep us on our toes.
Right? That's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, look, I feel as if, I don't like people who start with, well, I feel like, who cares what you feel? seriously, wherever you want to go, I think you made a couple of points here very, very well, including USC 42, section 1983. But is there, we got to do something in the next 100 and some odd days, 105 days, 4 days.
No, Doug, we need to do something in the next 30 days. We can't wait.
What he said.
You just gave us the deadline of when it's going to come to fruition. We got to do stuff now.
What can the average person out there do who are listening to this? I mean, I know that what
live
we're going to
do. Live the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do everything they can to be that kind of person and contact everyone you know to do the same thing. And then do something to resist the government's intrusion on your rights. And those are not mutually exclusive statements. I believe that Constitution was inspired by the Lord. Almost every word he wanted is there. Okay? That's how I feel about it. Should be scripture right next to the book of Revelations. That document is the Lord's document to us. Live it properly. Learn it properly. And then teach other people properly so they know what that document says. We go to the Bible constantly, study it. And the Constitution, which I feel is equal, sits on the side and we don't study it at all. We need to. But you know, they have commentaries on the Bible. People write commentaries. They write something to explain their view of what's happening, what's going on. That's what saving the Constitution is. It's a commentary to that scripture. That's why you need it in your home. I mean, you all have Bibles in your home for a purpose. You have a Constitution in your home? Very unlikely. But if you do, do you understand what it says? And
that was my big thing. And so I often said your book is like a constitutional concordance.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what that's why I look at it.
It's something that helps you understand what it is you're reading. In fact, you can read it in the book because I don't change anything. The book itself has the Constitution precisely as they wrote it in 1787. All I do then is talk about those paragraphs. If you don't feel I'm talking about it right, that's your privilege. I don't mind. Okay? I've done the best I can do. But that doesn't mean that it's perfect, nor does it mean that everybody will agree with it. I understand that. But it's more than nothing for everybody. It's more than nothing for everybody. So if you find something you don't like, don't throw the book away because you found one thing you didn't like, or even two. Just remember that I have a right to write. You have a right to write. I write what I wrote. You write what you write. It's the way it's the way the world is. And then everybody, if we just would do that, we would have a better understanding of what we're trying to do between now and 105 days. Guys, this is germane. Absolutely germane to what's happening to us today. Absolutely germane. And if we don't know what's happening to us, we don't know this book, we don't know the Constitution, we don't know the Constitution. Oh, dear me. A guy gave me a small pamphlet here a couple of days ago. And he says, this guy's writing about the Constitution. It's good things. So he gave me the pamphlet. I read the pamphlet, called him back. Said if I'd had a red pencil, it would be all red. Huh? He didn't understand what he was writing. Uh-huh. His discussion of the Ninth Amendment didn't have any relationship to the Ninth Amendment at all. His discussion of Article 7 didn't have any relationship to Article 7 at all. He even went through the Constitution he had in his book and marked out things that he felt the amendments changed. He marked out more stuff than I've ever seen marked out before. And the people that are marking are people that are saying the Constitution isn't a contract. It's a living thing that we can change whatever we want, however we want to. And that's not a true statement. The Constitution is a contract ratified, has never been altered. There is no new constitution. Law of contract says if you have a contract, you can't change it with an amendment. You can add to it. You can correct it. You cannot change it with an amendment. That's what the law says. Contract law, Black's Law Dictionary, amendment. That's what it says. So we go by what the law says. Then there's no strikeouts in that document. The strikeout is in the amendment that caused that strikeout. It's backwards. Everybody does it backwards. The document says in the sixth, in Article 6, it says in Section 2, I'm going to paraphrase a little, the Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land. Any law passed by Congress that changes the Constitution or is not in accordance with the Constitution is null and void. Any law, any item, anything includes amendments. Anything that has an amendment that changes the document is null and void. Because a contract isn't changed by an amendment or a law. Everything must be, that is the supreme law of the land, ratified in those very words in 1788. I mean, that's very clear, isn't it? It says Constitution is the supreme law. Yep. Therefore, anything that happens after it, 1788, that changes it is wrong. Anything, anything after 1788, because that's when it was ratified and put into law.
That includes Bill of Rights, though. So,
anything. Remember, it can be added. The law contract says you can add things. For example, it didn't say what age you had to be to vote. In the Constitution, it doesn't talk about that. It doesn't talk about women's voting. It doesn't talk about a lot of things like that. We can add those things as we go through amendments because they're additions. But you can't take words out. You can't delete the words.
Right. For the record, as far as I'm concerned, you mentioned voting. I really think everyone's got to pass a competency test, at least in civics or history, before you can vote. That's my view.
My view, too. Why did they have property people voting?
Yeah.
Because they didn't like the non-property owners? No. They had property people voting because they had skin in the action. They own things. That was controlled by the Constitution. Now we have people voting who just want more money from the government. Right. They're destroying the government because that's their goal. If they're not paying taxes, let me see. I'm going to use an illustration. Obama was giving phones to people, paying for them in his administration. So I applied for one. Aha! Oh, I pay taxes. You can't have one. You pay taxes. You can't have a phone. That's the wrong way. Those who pay taxes should get the phone. Those who don't get it. It's not the other way around. People should not have something they don't have any obligation to.
Right.
You got to have some skin in the game.
Yep. I totally agree with you on that.
So if you don't have any, if you haven't done anything, if it's not a part of you, if it's not something, then you don't care about it. It doesn't matter. All those phones that were given to people who could not buy one was because they didn't have the tenacity to get a job to learn. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to put it right where I believe it belongs. Those people who do not have money choose not to have money because they don't take advantage of the opportunities in this country. How do you like that sentence?
99.9% of that. Yeah, I mean, things happen, catastrophic, you know, illnesses happen.
Yes, all that occurs.
Okay.
But that's not the concept that I mean.
Exactly.
I mean those who don't have a catastrophic illness.
Right.
They don't have any of that. They don't have hospital problems. They just ignore the opportunities that the Constitution and our country provide and expect those who did not ignore it to take care of them. Sorry.
No, that's 100%. I agree with that 100%. Yep. Yep. Let me ask you this. I got an email, and I know there's more people than this. Mark, Nikki, Seb, and Mike all sent emails to me over the past couple of days. Well, actually, yesterday primarily, in advance of your appearance. I wanted me to ask you this question. The question is related to the Department of Justice enforcing federal law, not backing down from Operation Legend in Portland. In other words, sending out DHS, ICE, the other company or the other department, Border Patrol, to protect federal land. Your thoughts? Is that constitutional? They want to know. That's the essence of the question.
Here's the answer. It's very simple. Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 17, federal government doesn't have any land.
Hang on. Let me make sure I got their question right, because they're going to come back email saying, well, that's not what I asked.
I think I evaded the question, but the point is that they don't have any land. It's not theirs. But is it right for the government to send troops to the states? No, it is absolutely not. It is right for the states to have a militia to defend themselves.
There you go.
That's what the militia's for.
But apparently we don't have enough people with the balls to form a militia or.
Well, there are a lot of people beginning to do it. Okay, people call me. Not every day, but regularly. How do I do this? What about this? What can I do here? And in some cases, I've said, hey, let's get on the phone with the sheriff so I can explain exactly what I'm talking about. Let's get on the phone with these people so I can explain exactly what I'm talking about. And they don't call, but I'm willing. If they need that kind of help, I'm willing to do it. I know this stuff from experience, not because I just made it up on the side view. I know what's going on here. I can give people a help when they don't really know exactly everything to say. I kind of do.
Okay.
I kind of do.
Now, hold that thought, because there's I'm going to speak on behalf of these people I've just mentioned, and then I've got a follow-up. Okay, so absent of a militia, oppressed by state, local, and unconstitutional federal law, you've got these rabid, I don't even know what you'd call them, animals out there ripping federal, you know, attacking a federal courthouse. And the cops are out there, you know, they're told to stand down by a communist mayor and a acquiescing chief of police. So in that, given those circumstances, still no?
Well, You see, now you've painted a picture that's really, really rotten.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's really rotten. Sucks, man.
So we wander back to the Declaration of Independence. That's a founding document. That's a law document. That's a document. Very important. It says in that document, I'm going to read it to you. You don't have to just say what it says. I'm going to read it to you. I just happen to have it here handy. Come on, Richard. Don't get carried away here.
I got a feeling you never go anywhere without a constitution, but okay.
Anyway, here's what it says. Among those inalienable rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are the things these guys are destroying. Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right, I would say responsibility, of the people to alter or abolish that government and institute a new one. That's what the Declaration of Independence says. It is not out of date. You just described an instance where the complete government has lost control of their vision, their responsibility, their elected requirements. Those people need then to, using that law, that part, they need to take action themselves.
Okay, guys, let's rock.
That could be a militia.
Yeah.
If they just said, if they got the sheriff, somebody, to say, yes, we need to do something, then it becomes a legal militia.
Old Ted Wheeler out there would be, you know, looking over her shoulder, and so would that what's-her-face from Seattle. She'd be saying, you know, how do I get out of this jail cell? Yeah, you're right. That's okay. So that's the answer.
Yeah, now remember something that's very important about this, what I just read. Those people who wrote those words went to jail, were prisoned,
yeah,
lost everything they had. Just read the histories of those people who wrote those words. They were destroyed by the then current government. Okay? You got to remember that when a government begins to be an outlaw government, they're not going to stop because you said something. Oh, we'll be nice. Nope, they're not going to. You've got to realize you're putting an awfully lot on the line. But I got to say this, the revolutionary soldiers put it on the line, didn't they?
They did.
You talked about Paul Revere earlier. Paul Revere was one of those rebellious people that had caught him. Well, they did actually catch him, but then he escaped. But the point I'm making here is that they were risking their lives. They were.
Well, so I think we know what we need to do.
This very government that you're talking about, if you as a group of men and women go out with your guns that you know how to use and you've been trained, and you fight against the insurrectionists, and you use that gun and you injure one, they'll arrest you and throw you in jail.
Mm-hmm.
That is the pattern today. That's what we mean by the loss of justice. Does that mean you should not do it? You got to choose for yourself.
But if you had 100 guys in either an official or unofficial militia, 100 well-abled men, well-trained men, and my emphasis is on men because I believe it should be men to protect the women and children, but nonetheless, maybe that's old-fashioned, I don't know, but that's my belief and I'm sticking to it. So if you had 100 guys out there with, AR-15s or their equivalents, it said, no, we're not playing this game.
You don't need to worry. Those guys that are going to want to do the game will run somewhere else.
Right.
You don't need to worry at all.
That's right.
It was very well illustrated in Idaho. They showed up with the means to stop it. The guys who were going to come and do it took off. It was, again, represented in Seattle. The guys who had taken that six-block area,
yeah,
as soon as somebody with force came, said, no, you're not, they took off. They just took off. They're cowards. They only can exist in a group that isn't being threatened.
All right. I'm game.
You don't really need to shoot anybody. You just have to show up with intent.
Yeah, and I think that's it. And it's interesting, too. I look at the husband and wife, McCluskey or whatever, I believe it was their name in St. Louis, that protected their, or went out to protect their property. And yeah, it was cumbersome the way they did it. Yeah, I get it. Okay. But hey, at least they went out there. Now, of course, you got the, like I said, the DA going after him, and the governor saying, well, I'll pardon him. But man, that's a lot of BS to go through for the, but at least they stood up, I guess, is what I'm saying. And this is what we need to do.
That's, and then you take a risk whenever you do that. I outlined the risk a minute ago.
Yes, you did.
And you just outlined it again.
Yeah.
You take a risk. You got to weigh the risk to the benefit. You got to do that. But if you have a whole neighborhood, not just two people, it's very hard to arrest them.
See, and that's it. And then that's, I talk to Coach Dave Dobmeyer all the time about this. You know, he wrote an article and talked about this years ago. You know, I'm looking for somebody else because everyone thinks somebody else is going to do it. So what we need to do is be that someone else, and we need to be a lot of someone else's, because if we don't do it together, we're going to be, you know, hanging separately.
Yep. That's right. Yep. You don't, you're not united. You hang separately. That's right. And it should be united. There shouldn't be any question. I don't understand these governments that think that, oh no, we're not going to do anything to them. We're just going to let them run ragged over us. Why? Oh, because maybe they'll do more. Yeah, well, they're already doing enough. Why don't we stand together and stop it? Had Seattle taken some effort when that first happened, it wouldn't have lasted a whole day.
I agree.
If a group of people had formed in Portland, they wouldn't have 50 days of riots every night. They would have stopped it on the first day. Because people didn't do anything, it protracted.
And that's something I don't quite understand this, because if this happened in my hometown, if this was where it's my hometown, I'd be on the phone to people I know saying, all right, gear up, you know, get your go bags, make sure you got your extra magazines, ammo, and we're going down. We're going down to the courthouse, and we're going to be protecting the courthouse. And, you know, if we get a chance, on the way out the door, we'll have Eric or maybe my wife call up the person out at the federal courthouse saying, hey, don't shoot these guys when they come down, because they're protecting you. That's what I'd do.
Yes, and why didn't the people around there do it?
Because they're wimps?
They just watched. They weighed the risk and decided that their freedom was less important than doing it. So they gave up their freedom. They gave up their property. They gave up their rights because they didn't do it, because the risk was too great. I'd rather not have the right. I'd rather not have the freedom. I'd rather be chained.
Yeah.
That's what they said, and that's what they did.
Should we, Doctor, I'm tossing this out. I mean, hey, that's not our, I mean, we'd have to drive about, I don't know, a day and a half to get there, but maybe we should grab a whole bunch of guys and pretend it's our courthouse. But then I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't do that because your courthouse needs you there.
Well, it's not under attack.
It will be. If the other places stop, they'll come there.
Yeah, that's true.
Where there's no protection. They don't go where there is protection. As soon as they see protection, they'll leave and go somewhere else.
And believe me, that'd be a... They don't want to do that.
Remember the skin in the game? The people whose place it is are responsible for what happens where they are. Not everybody else. Although, it's a good thing to help everybody else. But you don't want to leave your own home unprotected while you run off to help somebody else.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So I don't know. I don't. The telephone calls should be in Portland and around the area around Portland. That's a big. They have a big state. They got a lot of people. Nobody showed. What does that say?
Yeah.
You shouldn't have had to go there. There should have been so many people. There should have been 1,000 people down there taking care of business. And then those guys would have taken off.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have stayed. They'd have taken off. It'd be done. But the 1,000 people didn't show up because it was inconvenient. TV shows on. Oh, Molly's gonna get a haircut. Oh, I gotta get my hair shampooed. I watch the TV show. Oh, I gotta do this. Oh, it's more important that I water my lawn. Oh, yes. Okay. Well, good. Meanwhile, your house burns around you.
Yeah. All right. And that was the actual the follow up question too. You pretty much answered that the question I had, and I think you've done a I think I understand this. So yeah, I mean, it should be up to the militias, and no, the federal authorities don't really have that. It's not constitutional, is what you're saying. So
yes, it's unconstitutional completely.
Right.
But then, no, let's take another issue. Let's take a sheriff down in Florida and another one in Jacksonville, okay? Sheriff down in Florida said, those guys show up here, I'm going to deputize every person who has a gun. We're going to take care of them.
Yep.
Yep. And the guy in Jacksonville, a sheriff over there, did much the same. They didn't go there.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm sure if I was a little thug, tatted up, pierced thug, I wouldn't want a unemployed, skinny or fat, jeans dropping around my ankles, thug. I wouldn't want to get shot either. So, all right.
If you're a group, the likelihood of anything happening seriously is very low. The likelihood is very low. Because remember, those guys don't want to get shot at either.
Mm-hmm.
And they know they're coming after you. And they mean business. So let's go find some place where nobody is threatening us. And they will.
Yeah.
They are.
Well, folks, you can finish that sentence, one word sentence, well. You can finish that. But before we leave tonight, I want to tell you that you really need to do this. You need to go to provostinstitute.com, provostinstitute.com. And links can be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. And you know what? Send Dr. Proctor an email if you want to speak with him or if you want more information about, I don't know, something. But the Liberty Series, his economic books, and, of course, Saving the Constitution, they're all there. And if you haven't done so already, look, we have 168,000 subscribers. It's not a lot in the scheme of things. Tons more listeners on Global Star and whatever, satellite, and exponentially more. So my request to you is this. Get the book. Get the books. ProvostInstitute.com. Yes. And if you haven't done so already, I urge you to do so. And now more than ever, while you still can, because what you said is, you know, hey, we don't know. Maybe the post office won't deliver them, which is another conversation, actually a different conversation.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So do it.
Everybody knows it's possible. By the way, 168,000 people.
That's just on YouTube. I mean, it's
whatever the number is.
Yeah.
If it's in the middle hundred thousands, folks, you're not doing a very good showing.
I know.
You're not doing a very good showing.
Because I have less than
1%. Yeah.
Yeah. So why aren't 168,000 people saying, hey, I want the book?
Yeah.
Well, you even take 10% off because
even a half, that'd still be, you know, a major effort. But all we really get are getting a tenth of a percent.
Which it makes me sad because it's the way it is with everything. You know, honestly, we ask for support and thank you for those who support us. But it's only a very small percentage who actually support. You know what I find interesting? The most rudest comments, is that right? The most rudest comments and all of the detractors, detracting comments, those people never once bought a book from you or never once paid a, you know, offered us a dime, you know. They haven't. I find it interesting. I don't know. So please, folks.
It's the people who don't vote who complain the most, too.
I find that amazing as well. Yeah. Who'd you vote for? I'm not going to vote. Or, I'm not going to vote. Why should I vote? Ah. Who counts the votes? Well, okay.
Let me talk just a second here about an item. I've got something. We got 8 minutes left or something like that. I want to ask this question. I have heard people say, 4 minutes, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So I've heard people say that I don't want to vote for, I'm going to use it. I don't want to vote for the people in the Constitution Party. That's a wasted vote. A wasted vote. Because I want to vote for somebody that's going to do good rather than that. And I hope maybe I can use my vote to do that. Okay. Now let's see. We vote for the incumbents. Oh, and the incumbents have been treating us like trash. So where's the wasted vote? Is the wasted vote continuing to vote for people who are treating us like trash? And their record shows it. It's not a surprise. Their record shows it. They're not going to change their stripes. Are you still going to vote for there and call that not wasted? Are you still going to do that? Or are you going to try to go to some people in a Constitution Party that are interested in doing the Constitution? Are you going to support those kind of people or the trash that we've been electing? Where's the wasted vote? Just think on that. Who's wasting the vote when they vote for the trash they know is trash over and over again? Just a thought. Who's wasting their vote? Just a thought.
I like that. I met with a contractor earlier today. There was a job that I was... Anyway, I was thinking about this. If there was a pile of bricks, not for Antifa, but for Black Lives Matter, but for construction, and you get a choice, you know, if you can look at the bricks. If you're going to build a house, everyone can take a brick and go over and help build the house. Half the people can take the bricks. I suppose if everyone took a brick, they'd be running into each other. You know, it'd be, but you get the idea, right? So, but there's a pile of bricks here. Build the friggin' house. I'm sorry for my language, but build the house. Get the job done. Buy the book. Arm up. Man up. Get out there. I'm not, people are going to misquote me, and I'm not promoting violence. Gird yourself, protect yourself, but let's get it done. Let's get it done. Let's get it done.
Remember, you don't know your rights. You don't have any rights you don't know. You don't have any rights you don't understand. Most people think there's 10 Bill of Rights because there are 10 amendments. 27 in there at least, and in other parts of the Constitution, there are even more rights. The Constitution is full of our rights, and they've all been, they're all being destroyed. And right now, it's a surge to destroy rights. And we're sitting back saying, okay, that's all right. Wasn't it Benjamin Franklin who says, they who give up their rights for security will have neither?
It was one, I think it was Frank, it was one of the founders, yes. Yeah. And a republic, if you can keep it. Yeah, if you can keep
yes.
it. Yes. If you give a damn to keep it. Well, what can I do? Well, I don't know. I can't come to your house and, you know, tell you what to do. I'm reminded of that Saturday night clip with, what was that? Living in the van down by the river. What was that guy? Chris Farley. You're going to be living in a van down by the river. It's how true. We are all going to be living in that van down by the river if we don't do something, right?
Yep.
Dr. Proctor.
It's been a nice day.
I'm going to tell you. He's a class act, isn't he? Let's all, studio audience, let's all give him a hand. Sorry, I don't have a studio audience. Hey, Eric the Tech is. That, the drugs must have kicked in, right? All right. Doctor, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Take care.
We're going to see you. Hopefully you'll come back when we resume our normal programming,
yes,
right?
I wish you well in your event coming up.
I'm going to keep you, what'd you say? Don't go over. I'm getting yelled at because the satellite people get really irritated when I go over. All right. Thank you, Doctor. Have a good night.
Have a good day.
All right. Tomorrow, Randy Taylor. Good night.